The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Career in politics is something only a few aspire to achieve and then deliver upon. But in recent months, we've seen a number of public representatives step down, including, obviously, the bombshell resignation of Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. With the rise of social media and far-right ideologies, it leaves one to wonder, is a career in politics worth it in spite of any perks that might be going or pensions or pay? Well, joining me now to talk about this is Minister of State for Disability in the Department of Health and Department of Children, Anne Rabbitt, and former Fine Gael TD for Dublin North West, Noel Rock. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, Noel, I'll start with you because you did not leave politics willingly.
No,
you were dropped.
Yeah. Glad we got that out of the way.
Yeah, just to clarify that you were not one of those shrinking violets who said enough is enough.
No,
you wanted more.
Indeed, I did want more. And, you know, every day in politics for me anyway was an honour and a privilege. However, against the backdrop of that, it has to be said that the challenges and the difficulties in getting that work done and in getting that job done are becoming more and more difficult, you know, in terms of online conduct.
Okay, now, since you have not been a TD, has your life changed? Have people stopped doing what they were doing to you before?
to an extent, yeah. I mean, my hair is growing back, so, you know, life is a little less stressful in some respects. But, you know, some of the unsavoury incidents that would have happened when I was in politics, certainly in terms of the online abuse, etc., and the online abuse spilling into the offline in terms of people showing up at my house, in terms of Gardaí having to visit my house to do security and safety checks, in terms of one incident with a man emptying his bin in our front garden. You know, these things are certainly in the rear view mirror now. It's fair to say that I now lead a much quieter life, and I look on at what is happening an awful lot to politicians, both online and then sometimes reading about how it spills into the offline in the news and in the media, with kind of dismay, because it certainly doesn't put me off. I'm not saying no to politics in the future or whatever, but I do fear that it silently puts a great many people off ever even thinking about it, because the most common thing I get on the street whenever I'm talking to people about being a politician and a former politician is, goodness, I don't know how you do it. That's what people say to me most often. And I think silently, it's just putting a great many people off each time they hear about an incident or they see a bit of online abuse or whatever it might be. And that's a great pity for us and a great pity for democracy. And it doesn't affect one single party. It actually affects everybody.
Now, Anne, what about your experience? One difference between you and Noel, you're a woman. Does that change things?
I do think it does ever so slightly that we do attract that little bit more attraction in the fact of the online abuse. Absolutely.
And is it distinctly misogynistic?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like because you're a woman?
Oh, yeah.
Not because you're Anne Rabbitt,
no,
a minister?
No, not at all. It's because I am a woman. I'm an easier target, to be quite honest with you. And it's like I'm a target and an attraction for all of all sorts. And it's not just Anne Rabbitt either. It's all women across the spectrum within politics as well.
What do you do? How do you behave in ways that keep you secure?
Initially, I used to just drop and block from security point of view. Now I'm talking about my mental health.
Yeah.
I would say initially, I would have always said block and drop. Facebook's was, you had to have a request to be a friend on Facebook. So if you couldn't treat me accordingly, you were blocked and dropped. I applied the same on Twitter. And then when I became a minister, Noel advised me, he says, you've enough in blocking and dropping done. He says, at this stage, we'll unblock absolutely everybody. There was thousands of them. And just to allow you to be more accessible, because you are a minister now, and to hear everybody's version of it. And to be quite honest with you, that was okay at the start, Pat, to be honest. And then I do think with the change of ownership of X, it actually became really downgraded very quickly again.
Politicians still insist on being on X, don't they, for whatever reason? I mean, there is the alternative of Threads, which is slowly gathering traction. But there are other platforms. I mean, famously, we've got the TikTok Taoiseach in waiting.
And would you believe it? The other night, I suppose, like when you're watching the Sunday and everything else like that, and you talk about the TikTok, Simon is an extremely good communicator, and I think a lot of us politicians could learn a lot from his communication skills. And the other night I was sitting at home and I was trying to figure out, Pat, how you would upload TikTok, myself personally. And I turned and I said to my daughter, when I clicked her from work, I said, I'm just after putting TikTok on the phone. Take that off immediately, Mum. You're not going there. Because I don't know what it attracts. Does it attract other commentary different that it would put the kids viewing my really negative comments? I don't know what it was, but she says, don't do that.
I suspect she was worried that you'd spend your entire day looking at cats climbing trees and dogs rescuing pigs from drowning, that sort of thing.
Which, and I suppose, Pat, the other side is like sometimes we, I know myself, I shy away from having the camera in front of me because there would be commentary. Oh, look at herself again. Can't get her nose out of the trough. There's the sort of comments. Look at the size of her. Look at the weight of her. You know, and like I would be conscious, no different to any other female, that maybe I'm not a perfect 12 by no manner or means. And maybe I'm not in my 20s or anything like that.
So but people feel free to comment on your body, on your clothes.
Absolutely, Pat. On my hair, on absolutely everything. And that to me shies me away and possibly shies others away from communicating, because I have a lot of communicating to do in disabilities and to reassure a lot of people, but I shy away from that piece of it.
One would suspect that you need a thick skin, therefore, to go into politics, and yet to do the job that you do, particularly in the brief you have at the moment, you have to be an empathetic person.
Absolutely.
And therefore, you know, how do you marry the thick skin with the empathy?
And would you believe it, I did an interview last week and it was all around the piece about reassuring families and the work that I'm doing. And the comment that went up straight afterwards, because it was a very sensitive interview, you'd nearly believe she cares. Yeah, no. And like we just move on from all of that. But I wouldn't be doing the job with the empathy and the belief that I do, unless I did care, to be honest with you. Because the first day I ever got into politics, it all started being involved in your Camogie Club or your Tidy Towns. You started from a community service, yeah, and it spilled over into public service. Anne Rabbit, the person, didn't change.
Now, have you been deterred by all the things that have happened to you?
There certainly has been very low points, Pat, in the last year and a half. Absolutely. And to my good friend Mary Butler, the Minister of State for Mental Health and Older Persons, she would have known that I actually would have hit that low point of saying, what's this all about? Why am I doing this? And no different to herself, she's had her issues in the last number of weeks as well. And you just go, well, no, we're able for this. We motivate each other. I think you do need to have that piece of solidarity, of being able to talk to another person in a similar position who's going through exactly the same that you're going. Like we would talk about the body shaming piece of it, or the hair shaming, or the clothes, and all of that that goes along with it, Pat, to actually say, look, we're doing a good job. We believe in ourselves.
Do they ever talk about policy?
Oh, not at all. Well, you'd have to have an understanding of what you do then to discuss a policy. Absolutely not. It starts with, and that's why I feel really, that's what embarrasses me sometimes. As I say, there could be a very sensitive issue and it could be a really genuine post. And you post that and you might have a comment on it. It's what follows afterwards. The same with social media, with Facebook. You feel really sorry for if there's a lovely thing gone up there about a variety trike or something like that where it has been delivered to somebody. And then you see what follows on and you're embarrassed for the person that might have posted, that might have said thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Noel, what is to be done? I mean, will you go back into politics? Have you an appetite, given that so many of your party may be slipping away from running?
I mean, yeah, I mean, my abiding mantra is always never say never in this regard. But I think,
but I mean, selection conventions will be coming up. Will you,
yeah, yeah.
Will your name
will
be in that?
Yeah, look, never say never from my perspective. You
mean yes.
We will see what transpires in the time ahead. But like, in terms of what I can contribute, in terms of this vantage point that I'm at now, which is at a slight remove from politics, like, I can't help but look in and go, it's an honour and a privilege to be a TD or to be a senator. But at the end of the day, it is just a job. And like any job, Pat, like the job you do, like the job Anne does, it's people that are doing jobs. And I think it's worth remembering that, you know, any criticism that's levelled, whether it's online or offline, should be about performance on the job and shouldn't be straying into this realm of personal or abusive, mm-hmm, because all that's going to happen is, regardless of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, whatever, you're just going to put good people off from running in the next election and in elections thereafter.
Yeah. Is there anything that can be done centrally to limit this kind of damage? I mean, suggesting that everyone goes off X is not realistic. If you've a lot of communicators, be they global communicators or local communicators or journalists or whatever, who are all using X, mm-hmm, you kind of have to be there.
Yeah, I mean, look, politicians want to be where people are naturally enough. So even though X has its limitations, politicians are going to want to be on that platform. You know, even though there is an awful lot of unmoderated content on there. There are a number of laws at both an Irish level and an EU level that are applicable with regard to online safety and online content. So I think it's about, let's see how new laws, particularly from an EU level, are implemented and are adhered to, and how new structures like the new commissioner are able to enforce, I suppose, these laws.
That's now, obviously, we have the prospective law about hatred, which will be probably modified a little bit. But the platforms themselves, you're talking about new laws, be they EU laws or local laws. I mean, do they have to be forced to cough up very quickly the name of someone who is guilty of a crime in this jurisdiction? I mean, it does seem to be a lot of delay and obfuscation before maybe the name of the person who's guilty of this kind of threatening abuse is revealed.
It certainly does have to go through a lot of procedural steps, I would say, and often ends up having to go into the realm of judicial steps as well before kind of people are held to account in this regard. But it is fair to say, like, there are a number of cases presently before the courts and one or two that have been processed where things have been brought to a resolution. Is it as quick as I would like? No, certainly not.
There's a comment here. I think the youth of today will be far better equipped for abuse online just because they've so much more experience of it than the boomers in politics now. Yeah, there may be people who build resilience by being abused online, but many more suffer terribly from it.
They do, of course, Pat. And like, I suppose really what we have to think about as well is, like, we're talking about moderating. We have to think about how we protect our youth as well and their mental health. And I know that the safety regulation there is the age of 16. But at the same time, young people that have come through, whether it be the Snapchat, the classroom bullying, they're open to it all of the time. What I'm experiencing now, or what I talk about my colleagues experiencing, like, there's a whole host of people as well across a load of platforms that experienced abuse as well.
Now, it's interesting, Ron DeSantis has decided to ban children from social media. It'll be interesting. We'll be talking about that with Jess Kelly later on. But finally, Anna, I have to ask you, as someone who journeys from the west of Ireland, I mean, travel must be an inhibitor for people, you know, going to the Dáil, having to go to meetings, being a minister.
It is. And I suppose really at all times I have become more conscious about where I travel, where I go, who's with me. And I plan my journeys, Pat. I used to never, because I'm very independent. In the past, I wouldn't have said to somebody, I'm going X, Y or Z. I just get into the car and are gone. Now I have to plan if I go into a public meeting. Now I have to plan who else will be there, as in, will one of my colleagues, Councillor Sheridan, Councillor Canning, will they be there with me? Will there be? Will Ned from the office be there? Who's available? And I
conscious. Okay, so you don't want to be vulnerable. Want to be there without a little help.
Absolutely. Well, you need to have somebody now watching your back at all times. And like, while I might know all of the characters, you need to have somebody watching to see who's actually watching you and making the moves.
Yeah. And Noel, that probably wasn't so much an element.
No, it wasn't. And that kind of speaks to, Pat, how it has become a worse problem even since 2020 when I finished, where there are simply more people going to public meetings now, being willing to whip out camera phones, being willing to follow public reps around. It's kind of dangerous.
All right. So finally, to encourage young people to go into politics, what say you, finally, Noel?
You know, politics always needs good people, regardless of party and regardless of political outlook. I would still, despite the challenges, very much encourage people to get involved.
And? Yeah, absolutely. I would too. I do think the only thing I would say to is, if you're sensitive, it's not for you. Or if it's
not for the faint-hearted.
Not for the faint-hearted. But at the same time, as I say, I started in community and it spilled over into public service and I don't regret it.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.